The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Do some Christians not bear fruit at all? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. Currently, we're taking questions from listeners just like you. If you've got a question you'd like answered, you can send us an email, radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, thank you for listening to Grace in Focus. I'm here with Bob, and we've got a couple questions. I don't know how many we'll get to. Sometimes we meander. Let's just admit it.
Occasionally, you ask some follow-up questions that are so hard.
It just drags it out a little bit. Here's a question from Bassem. After reading the beliefs on your website, are you saying that not all Christians bear good fruit? In other words, maybe some do bear good fruit and others don't bear good fruit at all. I just wanted to get clarification. He doesn't give an article or a verse, but I imagine, like I think of the four soils and what you've said about the four soils.
Right, and he's probably also thinking of John 15, the vine and the branches and the bearing fruit. And it's a complicated question. But the answer would basically be, in my opinion, if by good fruit you mean good deeds, every Christian does good deeds.
Because basically every person does good deeds.
Unbelievers do good deeds.
I was reading in this month's Reader's Digest. Yes, I get Reader's Digest. Someone told me it would be a good source of sermon illustrations. And this lady was reminiscing about what her grandmother said. There was this young man in her neighborhood, and he was so kind and he was so generous, and he would pay people's rent, and if they didn't have money to fix their car, he'd give them money to fix their car, and he'd buy groceries for the poor people in the neighborhood. And her grandmother just remembered, one day this young man is going to be recognized for all that he's done. And this lady writing into Reader's Digest said, and several years later he was recognized. His name was Al Capone. Everybody has some level of probably good deeds, except for really terrible people.
Well, Jesus said, if your son asks you for a fish, you're not going to give him a snake. You're going to give good gifts to your children. That's even true among unbelievers.
Right.
What people mean when they say, are you saying that not all Christians produce good fruit? They really don't mean, are you saying that there's such a thing as a believer that never does a single good thing in his entire lifetime? They're not asking that.
Yeah.
They're saying, is there such a thing as a believer whose life is not characterized by righteousness, who's not mature, an immature believer? Is there such a thing as a person who becomes a believer, is a baby Christian, and dies that way? They never attain maturity. The answer is yes. 1 Corinthians 11:30, because of this, some of you are sick and some sleep.
Right.
The believers in Corinth were, for the most part, most of them baby Christians, 1 Corinthians 3:1-3. And some of them, they were getting drunk at the Lord's Supper, and it's unlikely that they were more mature. Yes, some Christians do not attain maturity. And you brought up the four soils.
Yeah.
Well, one of the four soils is someone who comes to faith, believes for a time, and in time of temptation, falls away. We're not told how long this believing for a time is. So it could be months, it could be decades. But regardless, there is such a thing as a believer who falls away and actually dies in unbelief.
Yeah, absolutely. So if we're asking the question, do we believe that everybody has some level of human good? R.B. Thiem used to talk about human good.
Yeah.
We would say, yeah, everybody has some level of human good. Because even unbelievers have some level of human.
Well, even unbelievers are created in the image of God.
Right.
So the image of God comes out doing good.
Right.
And Cornelius in Acts chapter 10 clearly was doing good before he was born again.
But if the question is, does every single believer produce spiritually mature fruit because they've reached spiritual maturity? No, we would deny that. We would say only some people get to that point. It's entirely possible, although you shouldn't, but it's entirely possible to stay carnal, to stay immature, or to even regress, you know, to believe and follow Christ for a time and then revert back and backslide and maybe even end up worse off than you started.
Right, exactly.
So hope that clears things up, Bassem. So spiritual maturity is something we should all strive for, but it's not guaranteed. All right, here's a question from Valtteri. And Valtteri says, does Matthew 12:37 preach salvation by works or that faith causes works. Matthew 12:37.
Okay, here we go again. What does Matthew 12:37 say?
Yeah, it says, "For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned." So is this about, is this eternal salvation by words? I mean,
no.
What kind of justification is Matthew talking about here?
Yeah, it's been a long time, but I heard Zane Hodges give a Lord's Supper message on this one time. Let me walk through it. He basically says, a good man, verse 35, out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Now, he's not talking here about believers or unbelievers. He's talking about people, but I think within the context, he's urging believers to do good works. And he says, but I say to you, for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account in the day of judgment.
Yeah.
Well, this expression, the day of judgment, is found in 1 John 4:17-19. And the believer's day of judgment is called the judgment seat of Christ.
Okay.
However, the great white throne is also a day of judgment.
Mm.
So I think the Lord's words here are broad enough to refer to both the believer's day of judgment and the unbelievers. And his point is that every idle word, every stray word we say, we're going to give an account,
yeah,
whether it's the judgment seat of Christ or the great white throne judgment.
Yeah.
For by your words you will be justified. This doesn't mean forensically justified before God. That's by faith.
Yeah.
This is vindication.
Mm.
By your words you will be vindicated, and by your words you will be condemned.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't mean eternally condemned in the sense that we're sent to the lake of fire. This means we're going to experience judgment for the negative things we do.
Yes.
Now, for the unbeliever, of course, we're told in Revelation 20:11-15 that books are opened, the books of deeds.
That's right.
And they're judged according to their deeds.
Right.
And the same thing is true in 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, whether good or bad. That's our works, our deeds.
Yeah.
And so both judgments are going to involve that. And so basically this is a warning. Watch what you say, because you'll be held accountable for it. For the believer, this means we're going to be held accountable. And so we need to beware of what we say. And of course, we have something similar in James 3:1. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, for as such we will incur a stricter
right.
judgment. Well, that's words, isn't it?
Right.
Now, of course, idle words is something like maybe we're thinking of cussing here, or maybe we're thinking of rebuking someone we shouldn't, or saying something we shouldn't, harsh words we say to a loved one or something.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. But it's also true that anything that we say, we're going to be held accountable for. It's not just our actions, but it's also our word.
You say held accountable, but, well, the questioner was assuming this is about salvation. I mean, there is a justification here, and you say there is a judgment, there is to be held accountable. But what do you say about this assumption that this has to be about salvation?
Well, no, the justification here, by your words you will be justified, that has nothing to do with being forensically declared righteous by God.
This is a different type of justification.
Right, this is being vindicated.
Yeah.
By your words you'll be condemned is not about eternal condemnation. It's that we're going to experience either praise or rebuke for our words and for our actions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true for the believer and the unbeliever.
Yeah.
Now, the unbeliever, of course, is not going to be receiving much praise for their good works. But I suppose even someone like Al Capone, the Lord would acknowledge he did do some good things.
Right.
And I assume at the Great White Throne Judgment, those good deeds will be acknowledged.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you killed, you know, so many people, and you did all these other bad things.
Yeah.
You sold drugs, and you or sold booze, whatever it was.
I don't really know what he did.
I don't know what he did.
Know the Untouchables, that movie with Sean Connery.
Yeah. Can you give us a Sean Connery? Well, how do you do it? What's it called? An imitation?
Yeah, imitation. Yes, I can do an imitation. No, I can't.
You did. Keep it going.
Yes, my name's Sean Connery. I'll do the rest of this show in Sean Connery's
voice. Good.
No, that's all I know of Al Capone for that one movie.
Okay.
It's a great movie. The Untouchables and Tombstone, one of my two favorite movies. I can watch them over and over again. So we are going to be held accountable, but it's not necessarily for salvation. And so to answer the question, no, it's not about salvation. It's not about salvation by works. And it's not about faith that causes works. It's just about watch what you say, because God's going to hold you accountable for what you say.
Yeah, and we need to look more at the context. And if I had more time, we could delve more into the context. But basically, this whole section, like my Bible here says, a tree is known by its fruits. And that's 33 through 37. The believer should have good fruits and should be characterized by good fruits, but that's not a guarantee.
All right, let's see if we can fit one more. This is from Samuel, and he says, why is it that when you try to love your neighbor and do everything to help him or her, at the end they become your worst enemy? In such a case, can you continue to love them?
That's a good question, and it illustrates a vital principle. I remember talking to Zane Hodges, and I said, isn't there some danger in ministry? I mean, isn't there? Remember in the parable of the minas, the third servant says, I was afraid because I know you were going to hold me accountable, so I buried my mina. And I said, Zane, do you think that's saying there's some danger in ministry? And he said, absolutely.
Yeah.
He says, you can do the wrong things. You can hurt people.
Yeah.
So there is a certain risk in ministry, but there's greater risk in doing nothing.
Yeah.
Because you're guaranteed to be rebuked if you just bury your spiritual gifts and your talents and your treasure and you don't serve Christ. Guaranteed. But yeah, Samuel's right. You can minister to someone and they take it the wrong way and they get mad at you and yell at you and you can... Can you forgive them? Yes, you need to forgive them. But the truth is, it may be that you decide, I don't want to continue to talk to them about Christ because it's not profitable. It's like Jesus says, don't cast your pearls before swine.
Right.
If you find a person is unresponsive, then wait to the time they become responsive. If they're very hostile, of course, he may not be talking about witnessing. He may just be talking about interpersonal interaction.
Right, right. So,
but either way, yeah, we got to forgive people.
Yeah, God gives us the command to love, but he doesn't give us the guarantee of specific results.
That's good.
And Jesus said, we're going to be persecuted. We're going to have trouble in this world. There's really no avoiding that.
That's absolutely. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us.
Yeah. Well, thanks for your questions, guys, and keep on sending them to radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Our goal is to teach Scripture clearly and without confusion. One of the best tools for gaining that clarity, we believe, is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have all kinds of materials that are designed to help you mature and grow in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. Please come visit us at faithalone.org. You'll be glad you did. God loves a cheerful giver, and that's why we think our financial partners are the happiest people of all. If you'd like to learn how to become a financial partner with Grace in Focus, we would very much appreciate it. You can learn more at faithalone.org. It's really exciting to hear from our listeners. So if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, I hope you'll reach out to us. Best way to do that is through email. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On Monday's program, we're going to discuss how you can discern between the human spirit and the Holy Spirit. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.